Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening, and we do give you all a very warm welcome into our service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And we just trust that God will bless you as we look at the purpose of spiritual gifts. When John saw Jesus coming in the book of John, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God would take away the sins of the world." Then he went on to say, "He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power." And thank God this evening the Holy Spirit comes to baptize us with power. And tonight we want to look at spiritual gifts. And I know a lot of people don't believe in gifts and they don't preach about gifts, but how can we claim to have a Pentecostal experience? How can we claim to be people that believe we're restored back to what the early church had if we deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I believe God never takes away, he adds to. So if there was 9 gifts, there's still 9 gifts of the Spirit. God adds to. He never diminishes or ever takes away. We want to read tonight from John's Gospel. We're starting at chapter 14, verse 26 of John. And when you find it, we're going to pray. I want to pray for those in need. I want to pray for brethren in Pakistan, in India. There's great needs. We see in India people's dying with COVID, and it's terrible. We want to pray for them, and that God will just bless them and help them at this time. Let's bow our heads before the Lord tonight. Father in heaven, we bow before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy mercy and for thy grace, and we bless your name this evening. We know that your name is far above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we pray for brethren in Pakistan and India, that thou wilt be with them at this time and bless them and strengthen them. And we pray that you'll bring the COVID to an end and you'll spare the lives of men and women in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and meet their every need. Father, we ask for those here still suffering, bless them and touch them. In the name of the Lord, I pray for the 2 sisters which waiting on a good report. May they receive a good report in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, bless your word tonight. We know it is blessed, but we ask you bless it each and every one of us. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost, but I thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I take the Holy Ghost tonight afresh in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you that you do undertake for me. Bind every work of the devil, spoil his goods in every life and every home in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead your blood, the power and the presence of your blood over our homes, over our lives, over our children, over our families. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, bless us and close us in with yourself. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight as we look at the purpose of spiritual gifts. We want to read a few scriptures before we get into it this evening. And I want to welcome each one that's tuned in. Sister Pauline, God bless you. Over in New Zealand and others in Pakistani watching, maybe America and Germany as well. There's some brethren sometimes watch on America. God bless you all. Wherever you're tuned in from this evening, we just pray the Lord will bless you and touch you and inspire you from the Word of God tonight. Praise God. I want to read verse 26 of chapter 14, and then I'm going to read a verse and chapter 15 and 16. Verse 26 of chapter 14. But the Comforter, which my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Also verse 26 of chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me. Praise God. Then we want to read chapter 17. Let's start at verse 7. Sorry, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus going back to heaven to the Father. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not in me. Then verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Here's my key verse this evening. Verse 14 of chapter 16 will be my key verse. Mark it down. Chapter 16, verse 14. He shall glorify me, Jesus Christ. Now remember, there's one God, but there's three offices of that one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but one God. Jesus is not his own Father. Jesus has a Father. God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus here told us that the Comforter will come in his name, and he will glorify me, Jesus Christ. For he shall receive of mine, Jesus Christ, and show it unto you. This is wonderful this evening. So people say, I want the truth, I want the truth, I need to know the truth, I need to know the truth. If you take the scripture as the absolute, which it is, then it is essential that we have the Holy Spirit to know the truth. Now you'd say, I received the Spirit when I could see him. There's no question the Holy Spirit moves a man, moves a woman when they get saved. That's true. But there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit separate from salvation. There's three things that take place. Justification, that's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there is sanctification, where you clean your life up. Then there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's justification, believing in Christ. Sanctification, where you clean up. You quit your smoking and drinking. Some people are still only in a justified state. They're not even sanctified. But then there's this condition where you make yourself available for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you receive the Holy Spirit in a baptism. And to be baptized means totally submerged, covered. It means covered. Hallelujah. And just like the baptism of water, you're covered, so the Holy Spirit covers us, baptizes us, and fills us. That then is a teacher you're receiving, and you need no man to teach you, for the Holy Spirit will show you and teach you all things. If people say they have the Holy Spirit and deny the Word of God, then that is proof that they cannot have the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, you will not deny the Word of God. So when God shows something for our day, for our generation, if you truly have the Spirit of God, how can you deny what the Word of God and the Spirit of God says? But we're looking carefully this evening. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says this. Now, my key point this evening is from verse 14 of John 16, he shall glorify me. That's my first thought tonight, and we'll move on from there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So that means it's to profit everybody. Not just the fellow that's anointed and glad. Now, I hope you're not anointed and sad. I don't think you can be. When you're anointed, you sure are glad. Now, let me say this evening, and I felt that led to say this when I was waiting tonight. Maybe you're listening this evening. Maybe there's times when you feel like a flat tire. Now, I hope you know what that means over here in Ireland. You feel just like a flat tire, worn out and tired. I want to tell you, the Spirit of God's the only thing can change that for you. And when the Spirit of God comes on you and quickens you, can move you and bring you out of that condition and give you the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 also tells us, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So we see the Holy Spirit is sent to glorify me, Jesus Christ, and we see it's sent to bring comfort. So the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taught that after his ascension, the Holy Spirit would come to dwell within the hearts of true believers. Now let's think of that for a moment. The Lord Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit would come to dwell in the hearts of every true believer. Luke 24, verse 49 says, and behold, I send a promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. Also, he mentions it again in John 7, verse 37 to 39. Let me preface it. You know where he's talking about the great feast, and he that believeth, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There never could be a Pentecost until there was a Calvary. It's Calvary, then Pentecost. It's justification, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You cannot reverse it. It is God's order. It is God's way. There's three works in the work of grace of God: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John 14. We read, verse 16, 18, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now, people talk about the world receiving the Holy Spirit, and they're not saved, and that's all good, and I know there's lying spirits, all them things, but I believe the Bible. And verse 17 straightened out for me a lot of things. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit promises to come to the real believer. You know, if you're hungry for God, the Holy Spirit will come to you. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him on to you. Now we go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And I know I'm quoting you lots of scripture. This is just for a foundation, for the base. Mark them down. Read the scriptures on the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, You've heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I tell you this, all the disciples that were followers of Jesus, all had to receive the Holy Spirit. The Virgin Mary, which people talk about, also had to receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. How can this generation expect to come up to God's requirements with anything less? It can't work, I'm sorry. But we need the Holy Spirit today if they needed it then. The Holy Spirit is the helper, the comforter. In the original Greek, the title is parakiltos. Parakiltos, this is what it means. It literally means one called alongside to help. That is a helper, counselor, or advocate. So the Holy Spirit comes beside us to help us in our trials, in our struggles. No matter what we're going through in life, the Holy Spirit has promised to come to us. Isn't that wonderful? I could say to you, I'll come over tomorrow. Something could happen and I mightn't get. I'm only a man. But the Holy Spirit will come to you in Africa, in India, in Pakistani, in New Zealand. The Holy Spirit will come to you here in Northern Ireland, wherever you are. The Holy Spirit will come to you. According to John 14:16, the Holy Spirit would teach the disciples and guide them into all truth by causing them to remember and comprehend the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Spirit in them would not become a new source of authority, but would impart understanding to them from the mind of God. Also notice John 14:16, that the Holy Spirit would abide with you forever. That actually means he will never leave you. I really believe that's tremendous, because so many of us go on feelings. We want to feel the Spirit. We want to feel the goosebumps. And it's so good to feel it. But when you take this scripture, it's not on feelings. There's days when we feel the Holy Spirit's left us. There's days when we don't feel him near. But the Bible has promised us that he will be with us and never leave us. Hallelujah. Now I know there's anointing of the Spirit that comes, which you can feel. I'm not talking about that. That's a whole different thing. But I'm talking about the promise, what the Word of God says in John 14:16. He will never leave you. My brother or sister, I want you to be encouraged tonight. The Holy Spirit's with you. The Holy Spirit's near you. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you need to read Acts 2:39. 38 says about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But 39 says, for the promise is to you, to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You cannot be saved if God never called you. No man cometh unto me except my Father draweth him. No man can know me save to him who the Son will reveal him. So if the Lord has called you and you're saved, then the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you. You say, but brother, I don't think God wants to give me it. That's not true. The Bible says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask for the Spirit and you will receive the Spirit. If you ask for bread, God will not give you a stone, or your earthly parent, sorry, and God will not give you anything less. And don't be afraid of, oh, I'm afraid of the wrong thing. If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, you can expect to receive the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13 verse 5 tells us this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The ultimate purpose of spiritual gifts, first of all, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, the Spirit testifies of Jesus and glorifies Jesus. That's why when a man's anointed to preach the gospel, the Spirit of God will move that man to preach and uplift Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Remember the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. It's all about Jesus Christ, nobody else. The Holy Spirit confirms the identity and the work of Jesus Christ, proclaims the reality of God manifested in the flesh in the atonement. The Holy Spirit demonstrates the saving, delivering, transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit promotes the worship of Jesus Christ as Lord and God, and guides believers in the future. It guides us in the future, preparing us for the return of Jesus Christ, for his true bride, his true church, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And let me say this, you cannot join the church or sign into it, but Paul calls it the mystical body of Jesus Christ. You are born into it by one Spirit, and we baptized into one body, the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will not have you to glorify any pope or priest or anything like that. It will cause you to glorify Jesus Christ. It won't even cause you to glorify a prophet. And no matter how good a prophet of God is, and remember, we believe in a fivefold ministry, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, for the perfection of the saints. We believe that. But it will not cause us to glorify a prophet or an evangelist or any of those things. It will cause us to glorify the person, singular, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John 14:16 describes the work of the Spirit in the true church today, which, while far broader than 9 gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, it certainly encompasses these 9 gifts. Therefore, we can conclude that the ultimate purpose of spiritual gifts is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What's the immediate purpose? Immediately before listing the 9 gifts of the Spirit of 1 Corinthians 12, they're manifested to individuals for benefit of the entire church. So individuals can have different gifts, but them gifts are not to glorify an individual. They're to benefit the entire church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit with all. That means all. Immediately after listing these 9 gifts, proceeds to describe the church as the body of Christ. You can read 1 Corinthians 12. The body has many members. Each of them have a different function, but they're all designed to work together for the benefit of the whole body. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. Let's read from verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 12, and there's one particular word I want to emphasize on this evening. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, and having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh. Now let's get this little word in verse 25. That there should be no schism. Now mark that word in your Bible. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12. That there should be no no schism. Mark the word schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Notice this word schism. And the word schism means discord. So that there should be no division or discord in the body. And it's the devil that wants to bring discord in the body. He wants to bring discord. Everybody's not called to be an evangelist or a prophet or a teacher or one of them fivefold ministries. They are specific callings of God. You should not even think about it unless you know for sure God has spoke to you and called you to be part of that fivefold ministry. Stay away from it if you're not called for it. Then there's helps and governments. But here we see that everything is important. You know, every sister, every brother, every gift, every ministry, every one of them is so important. And one, we can't lift one up and put one down. That's what the Bible says. There's been no schism, no discord in the body. And just as your natural body has to flow, the heart pumps the blood, but the kidneys also do a work in cleaning. And every part of your body is for a reason. Your little finger, your eye, everything. You need the whole body functioning. Praise God. Now, from this explanation, it is clear that God does not want to bestow spiritual gifts primarily to benefit individuals, but to benefit the entire body as a whole. While the gifts do bless individuals, the focus is on what these individuals can then contribute to the whole church, to the whole body. Moreover, God does not intend for gifts to work in isolation, but to operate together in order to achieve the desired objective. What is the desired objective? It has to be to glorify Jesus Christ. That's the desired objective, and to reach the lost for the Lord. God does not bestow spiritual gifts primarily to benefit individuals, but to benefit the whole body, everything as a whole. When Paul was discussing or teaching on the proper use of vocal spiritual gifts, Paul explains, 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exaltation and comfort. While this verse refers specifically to prophecy, there is a broader principle. The exercise of spiritual gifts should be governed by consideration of how they benefit others. Now, I'm going to give you a list of principles here tonight before I close. Now, I know it might be a little longer tonight. I hope that's all right. But I want to give you a list of principles. Number one, the purpose of the New Testament prophecy is to edify. Now, what does that mean? To edify means to exhort and comfort. The word edify means to build up or strengthen. The word exhort means to encourage. The word comfort means exactly that. When anyone speaks a word of message into your life under the spirit of prophecy that leaves you filled with condemnation and fear, that message is not from God. That's principle number one. Are you hearing me tonight? When somebody prophesies to you and it takes the legs from you, it discourages you, that's not the Bible. That is not edification. That is contrary to the Word of God. Principle number two. Prophecy agrees with the Word of God. Prophecy will not be against the Scripture. The Scripture is the absolute authority. You cannot have a prophecy that is contrary to the Bible. Like if the Bible says there's only one way to be saved, and then the Pope says you can be saved by me, we know that's false. That is contrary to the Word of God. Prophecy will agree with the Word of God. All true prophecy comes from the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God. Remember, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost wrote the Word. interpretation of any individual. Any utterance that does not agree with the Word of God, it's false. Principle number three, prophecy must bear fruit and agree with the Holy Spirit in conduct and in character. Now listen to this evening. It must bear fruit and agree with the Holy Spirit in conduct and in character. Romans 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now we know false prophets are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16 tells us that. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or fig trees of thistles? And we heard a tremendous statement given by William Branham many years ago, where he saw two men operating spiritual gifts. And he said that one of them men, God showed him that both operated gifts, but one of them was living in sin with another woman, and yet he was operating gifts, and the other one was genuine. So the Bible says, try the spirits. What's the fruit of that life? If somebody's operating gifts and they're getting drunk and they're committing adultery, something's wrong. There's something wrong, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that you don't bring thistles and figs or thistles. Thorns. Do men gather grapes and thorns and figs or thistles? They don't do it. First thing, a false prophet or any person in deception will tell you is this. Here's the first thing they'll say to you. Don't judge me. That's what they'll say. Don't judge me. You're not judging them. You are simply inspecting the fruit that they're bearing. And you have a right to inspect their fruit on their tree. Principle number four. If prophecy contains predictions that do not come true, that prophecy is absolutely false. Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if a thing, the thing follow not, nor come not to pass, that the thing which that the Lord had not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And there's so much presumptuous prophesying, which we're seeing and hearing, especially in 2021, there's been so many predictions about COVID and all these things, and most of it's been absolute rubbish and nonsense. But a true prophet and a true prophecy, when that man speaks, it'll be as the oracle of God, because a prophet is absolutely God's mouthpiece. Hallelujah. If he speaks and it doesn't come to pass, don't hear him. Don't be afraid of him. Principle number five. If a prophecy comes true, listen to this. If a prophecy comes true and promotes disobedience against God or Scripture, it is not a true prophecy either. Even though it can come to pass, if it promotes disobedience against God or Scripture, it is not a true prophecy. I don't care even what's come to pass. It is false. And I will prove that by the Bible. It's my absolute. Nobody can have ideas. We're not interested. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1 to 3. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Moses here clearly states that just because the prophecy comes true, it does not mean the person who gave the prophecy is from God. If the prophecy causes you to look to another source for spiritual guidance, and I'm going to name some, such as horoscopes, psychic, hotlines, palm readers, all these things are false and fake. True born-again Christians do not look at horoscopes. They don't look to psychics. They don't look to hotlines. And they do not look to palm readers. They're all of them of the devil. You're living in a spiritual adultery if you do that against God. True prophecy will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Principle number six. True prophecy produces liberty and not bondage. True prophecy produces liberty and not bondage. Look what the word of the Lord says. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of liberty, the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Any form of control, and this is important, any form of control over a person by intimidation, manipulation, or dominion is witchcraft. Are you hearing me? I heard of a preacher once and he stuck people to the wall. He must have been a witch. That's not the spirit of God. And I heard of people telling people, if you leave my church, you'll be sick and all these things. How could that be the spirit of God? That's not the spirit of God. That's false. False prophecy will always lead to witchcraft. Don't get caught up with anything but the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Jesus must be the absolute focus and center of everything. Principle number seven. True prophecy injects fresh life into the meeting of the believers. That's what true prophecy does. It injects fresh life into the meeting of believers. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. True prophecy injects fresh life into the congregation, into the believers. If a prophecy comes and destroys the worship service, that prophecy I do not believe is from God. How can it be? God wants us to worship Him. He wants us to praise Him. Principle number eight. True prophecy given by the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit, true prophecy given by the Holy Spirit will bear witness to your spirit. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The principle extends to the consideration of unbelievers as well as believers. The church should always be in the process of reaching out to sinners and transforming them into saints. Therefore, in exercising spiritual gifts, we must always take into the account the impact upon the potential believers. For instance, tongues, which a lot of people don't believe in, but I believe in tongues. I do not believe the passed away. I believe the words of Paul the Apostle, the messenger to the first church, forbid not to speak with tongues. So don't say, don't speak with tongues. That's what Paul says. If we say we're following the same as Paul, we cannot be against tongues. We must believe in tongues. Praise God. And I hear people saying tongues is the least gift. Follow me for a moment here. For instance, tongues serves as a valuable sign for the unbeliever. While prophecy helps to convince and convict someone who comes as an unbeliever, but then begins to believe because of the miraculous demonstration he or she observes in the meeting. Let's read 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, we don't hear tongues used like this, and we don't hear preachers preaching this. But this is the Bible, brothers and sisters. This is the Word of God. This is how gifts should operate in a true church. Tongues are given for the sign to the unbeliever. But prophecy serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say, you're mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he's judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. John 16, verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. The immediate purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify or build up the church. Spiritual gifts bear witness to and confirm the preaching of the gospel. We know that by Mark 16, verse 20. Hebrews 2, verse 3 to 4. We know that the book of Acts is a blueprint for the true church today. And in the book of Acts, supernatural gifts attracted many people to become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read Acts 3, verse 11, Acts 4, and so on, right on down. Thus, in furthering the ultimate purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ as Lord, the immediate purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify Christ. Because the church is a body of Christ on earth, this building process occurs both by adding new believers and strengthening existing believers. My friend, we want the real Holy Spirit, and we want the real gifts of the Spirit of God, and we do not believe, as many preach, gifts are finished and they're gone. I do not believe that. I believe in gifts for today. We're living in a time where we need them more than ever. Think of it tonight, my dear brother and sister. We certainly need the gift of healing, the gift of working in miracles, the gift of discernment. We need every single gift we can get our hands on. And thank God, the Word of God said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Praise God. And we need the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, and so forth, for the perfection of the saints. Let us come and bow our heads tonight, and I know I've covered quite a few things this evening. If you didn't get some of it, you can go back on the recording and watch it, and maybe over this next few Wednesdays I will go into the gifts of the Spirit. I did preach them in my own little fellowship. There maybe wasn't many of us there when I preached on them. Some people maybe missed it, but I'll go into it, and I will go through all the nine gifts of the Spirit. And I love to preach about the Holy Ghost. I believe God filled me with a true baptism of the Holy Spirit in my mother's house, in the upper bedroom, in the front room, the living room in the front. And that night God visited me and delivered me from many things in my life, and God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And that's been over 30 years ago. And I cannot keep myself, but he keeps me. Many days I even pray, Lord, where are you? But then I'm encouraged with the scriptures that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. We want to pray for Andre Quinn, prayer requests. If there's any other requests, please put them up. Let me know now. As we're going to come to pray, and we're going to pray that the Lord will just bless and touch, and wherever you are, that God will bless you and touch you. And please come along to our services if you're free and you don't have a church. We do a drive-in service at Bellacross on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Samuel McKinstry will be preaching this Sunday morning. And may I say, last Sunday, we had a wonderful service with our brother Gary McKinstry He brought a tremendous message. The preferred son. It's blessed me all week. God bless you, Brother Gary. I so much enjoyed the sermon last week. I've been thinking about it ever since. And that's a good message when you can't get rid of it. And it keeps coming back to you, the preferred son. May the Lord bless you tonight as we come in prayer. And I want to pray for those in authority. We see lots of things happening in our land. The Bible tells us we are to pray for those in authority. Praise God. Pray for my niece, for her operation. God bless you, Sister Elizabeth. We certainly will be praying tonight for the Quinn, this dear Lady Quinn, and also for Elizabeth's little niece. Father, we bow before you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the Bible. We know men and women died and shed their blood so that we could have this Bible, the Word of God, the absolute authority, your precious Word. And then we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the promise of the Father, so that he would give us revelation and stimulation that we could know the Word of God in this very day we're living in. We thank you tonight that we have open access to heaven because the veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And we boldly come into your presence tonight by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray for Elizabeth's niece as she goes to the operation. Touch them. May everything be well in the name of the Lord Jesus. For this dear woman, Quinn, also bless her and touch her in Jesus Christ's name. And for also for the sisters waiting on the biopsy report back, may it be clear, may it be good. Father, just touch your sisters in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'll help us to move in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to be led by the Holy Ghost. For your word says the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us if there's any wrong in our lives or anything that wouldn't please you, Lord Jesus. Take it out, Lord. Wash us in your precious blood. Help us, everyone, to be in the center of your will. If someone feels like a flat tire tonight, may they be blew up and may they be filled up with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. Father, I'm asking you for those in authority tonight in our land. Give them wisdom, give them guidance, for they need it. Lord, grant it, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, bless our nurses and our doctors. Help them and protect them, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, think again of the dear brethren in Pakistan and in India. Many dying and suffering tonight, Lord, and needing help. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with them at this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your own people, Israel. And Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus, as we commit our lives to you. Bless our children. Cover them with your blood. Help them to get saved. Bring them to the Lord. For we know you have no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. Bless everyone that's listened in tonight. May every one of us desire spiritual gifts. Help us as we look at this little study with your word. Give us your wisdom and your guidance. And Lord, if thou wouldst tarry for this Sunday, bless our brother Samuel. Give him a message from heaven. Draw the people to hear the word of God. And may you receive all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. We're going to have a couple of my favorite little choruses before we go this evening. He's changing me, and then just a little longer. So first of all, he's changing me, Brother Gary and Sister Ruth singing. Praise God. Join in at home if you know these songs. Sing along. Worship and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Parade of Glory.